We're going to take a short break for one of our sponsors. I haven't tried this one, but it looks well worth checking out if weight loss has been an ongoing challenge for you. Robody pairs medication options with diet and exercise modifications to achieve your desired goal. Before being prescribed any medication, patients complete an online medical visit, lab test, and more to see if you're right for their program. You can sign up online, which means no scheduling a doctor's appointment, no commute to the doctor's office, and no waiting rooms. Their data shows that average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to ro.co/untangle. Sign up today and you'll pay just $99 a month for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/untangle. Now, back to our show. We're taking a short break to tell you a little bit about the 10% Happier podcast hosted by my friend Dan Harris. It has one guiding philosophy. Happiness is a skill you can learn, so why not master it? I recently talked to him on our show about what has changed since he wrote 10% Happier 10 years ago. A lot. Dan was once a fidgety, skeptical journalist, but after suffering a panic attack on national television, he decided to change his life. This journey led him to learn everything he could about the human psyche. Now he's on a quest to help others achieve peace and happiness. Each week, he talks to top scientists, meditation teachers, and even the odd celebrity, exploring topics like productivity, anxiety, enlightenment, psychedelics, and relationships. He's funny. He's smart. He's one of the best interviewers I know. Think of listening to 10% Happier as a workout for your mind. The 10% Happier podcast is available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Untangle, the meditation podcast from Gaiam. I'm your host, Patricia Karpus. In this series, we introduce you to real people with extraordinary stories and experts who have devoted their lives to teaching and helping others through meditation. In today's episode, I did a Skype interview with Jennifer Walters, the co-founder of the super popular blog Fit Bottom Girls and its sister blogs Fit Bottom Mamas, Fit Bottom Eats, and Fit Bottom Zen. Jen was inspired to start these blogs because of her own challenges with an eating disorder. She knew she was out of control when she made her weight the priority on her wedding day. She realized then she'd lost her perspective about what was truly important. Jen weaves in healthy eating, yoga, fitness, and meditation as a way to keep a healthy and holistic perspective. Here's her story. Jen, it is so great to finally be able to talk to you today and to interview you. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm very excited and honored to be part of this.
Yeah, well, you're an entrepreneur and you've created a series of pretty amazing websites for women. I want to ask you a little bit about your personal background and what inspired you to start these websites. So let's start a little bit with, where'd you grow up and tell me a little bit about your background?
Yeah, so I grew up in Liberty, Missouri, which is just a little bit north of Kansas City, Missouri. And, had a pretty typical like suburban middle-class childhood, I would say. When I went to college, I went to the University of Missouri where I got a degree in journalism. And while I was there, like the first week of class, I went to the fitness center and went into one of the group exercise classes. And it was like high energy music, 50 plus girls, like doing aerobics and working out. And I fell in love. I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know what I was put on the planet to do, but I need to teach group exercise. And what's funny is that while I was in college and I really fell in love with exercise and working out, I actually succumbed to a lot of the same pressure I believe that a lot of people, but especially women, have to look a certain way and be a certain way. And for me, you know, I always had this like magic weight number I wanted to be at. like for all my teenage years and young adult years. But it was really when I was actually working out and giving my best health advice in college that I started to have really unhealthy behaviors because I felt like I needed to look a certain way in order to give fitness advice. I kind of went through this just a really difficult time where I had really, really low body image and pretty low self-esteem, really, because of it. And my weight yo-yoed and I was on and off diets and just pretty miserable. And after I came back from graduate school, my then boyfriend, now husband, proposed. And I remember thinking, it's going to be such a waste of a day if on my wedding day, I'm not able to enjoy it because the only thing I'm concerned with is what I look like and if my arms look fat in a certain pose or if I'm standing the right way or if the dress fits. Like, I just remember having all this anxiety around my wedding day and wanting to be present in the moment, not wanting to be in my head and wanting to feel really, really, truly confident. And that was kind of the point at which I realized, okay, I need to get some help with this. And so I saw a registered dietitian who specialized in emotional eating and intuitive eating. And the first time I went in to talk with her, she goes, "Can you imagine what the women of this world could do if they stopped worrying about the number on the scale?" Like all of a sudden I was just like, oh my gosh, with that kind of perspective, I felt like such a jerk. You know, like I'd wasted so much time and so much energy. Here I am with, you know, an education, so many things to be grateful for. And how do I spend my days obsessively tracking calories? And that's the point where I was just like, wow, like my life has a greater purpose. I clearly can do more. And I worked with her through a lot of mindful eating techniques, paying attention to my hunger and fullness levels, not labeling any foods good or bad, like this whole kind of journey. And I mean, it took years to kind of get over it, but, and it's still a practice.
That's amazing, Jen. So tell me, I'd love to hear from your perspective because now you've lived this personally, but you're also a journalist and a blogger and a thought leader, if you will. Where do you think it comes from?
So in 2008, we started Fit Bottomed Girls with a lot of this positive, you're more than the number on the scale mission and message, because at that time, there wasn't a lot on positive body image. It wasn't something the mainstream media was addressing or talking about. If you looked at where you would get health information, either online or in magazines, there wasn't anyone saying that. Mm-hmm. And so we were one of the first voices that started to say that. And now when you go online, there is a lot more about positive body image and it's starting to be an issue that's talked about. So, I mean, I think that's kind of the first step, you know, obviously is kind of like an awareness, but where it comes from, there are so many facets to it. I think, you know, a lot of it is kind of just the societal and cultural pressure that to be thin is to be attractive. To be thin is to be happy. To be thin is to be valued, which is BS. But that's kind of the message that we get all the time through advertising and through magazines and the images that we see. And there's been a lot of research on media images and young girls. And it starts really, really young in ways I don't think we're even aware of. You know, I'm a mother. I have she's almost 15 months now. And so, I mean, I know there's also there's a generational thing too. You look up to your parents or they kind of also provide the norms. And I know I have a lot of friends who think about their mothers and knew growing up that it was almost cool to diet. It was cool to talk about what you didn't like about yourself or talk about your how you wish your thighs looked a different way or something. That was kind of like a woman bonding thing. And so, you know, daughters would be like I have a really good friend who has been thin her entire life, but she used to want to be heavy so that she could diet, so she could talk to her mom about that when she was a teenager.
That's so interesting.
You know, and yeah. Then I think you have a lot of that coupled with the fact that everything promoted for weight loss is a lot of it's a quick fix. And there's a lot of, if you get into the food side of things, there's a lot of food that's marketed to be highly addictive.
Yeah.
And we all know emotions are tied to food too. So it's like, right. There's so many different things going on.
I know there's so many different variables. I mean, And how do you, as you communicate with your large audience, how do you communicate this difference between being healthy and looking good because you feel good and this idea of dieting because you want to look like everybody else? Because most of the images on the blogs are of really, you know, sort of beautiful, healthy looking people. And so I think those images are still a little bit confusing sometimes.
Oh, for sure. And that has been one of our biggest struggles, actually. I mean, we always are saying, you know, we're trying to show photos of ourselves. And some, we actually did a whole campaign that was called Real FBGs, Real Fit Bottom Girls. We had readers submit photos and then write like what being, you know, fit and healthy meant to them, how it made them feel better. And so we showcased a lot of those images over the months just to show that, yeah, sometimes it was a six pack and sometimes it wasn't, you know. Sometimes it was 300 pounds. Sometimes it was 120 pounds. Like it didn't really matter. It was all about how you feel. And we're constantly, you know, in anything you write, even if it's like a product review or something or a workout, you can't hate yourself healthy. So it's always got to be like, do a workout, eat healthy foods as a way to show yourself love. And it's a message we just say again, again, and again, and again, and again, and that it somehow permeates in there.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's so important because all of our body types are so different and to have one standard is so frustrating. It's like thinking that there's one right way to do anything. It constricts people so much, I think. It's this idea of loving yourself. And we've talked a little bit before in some of our phone calls about mindfulness and meditation. And, you know, I think a lot of people draw insights when they go inside. How did you personally integrate mindfulness or meditation into your practice? And how do you also communicate that to your audience?
Yeah, I think mindfulness is incredibly important. Before kind of my journey, when I was in the really difficult part of
the wedding days.
Yes, the wedding days. You know, I was completely cut off from any cues my body was giving me. One of the reasons why I do love living a truly healthy lifestyle, working out and eating right, is that, you know, if you pay attention to your body, it'll tell you what it needs and what it wants, but you have to respect it. You know, I was pretty much eating before because it was time to eat, or it wasn't time to eat, or I wasn't eating because I'd had too many calories, or I needed a few more calories. It was never act of self-love. It never was anything about what I wanted. So basically getting my power back and being like, okay, let's tune into myself. Even if it's just a quick breath in and breath out before you eat a meal, during the meal and after the meal, to be like, how hungry am I? How full am I? And then seeing what levels make you feel good. And instead of seeing like healthy eating as this terrible thing you have to do, but instead embracing the whole long journey of it and being like, you know, I'm going to really figure out what food brings me energy. I'm really going to figure out what workouts make me feel awesome. And my only goal is to always feel good. That's it. That's the one thing I want. So, like I now personally don't eat gluten because I don't feel good when I'm on gluten, but I couldn't have cut out gluten and been happy about it, you know, 10, 12 years ago, because it would have been like, oh my gosh, I can't have that. So of course that's what I want to have. You know, I want to have that all the time, which now it's coming from a place where I'm like, no, I really feel really good when I don't eat gluten and I'm really happy about my decision. And it doesn't feel like deprivation at all. It's an incredibly different mindset. But through a lot of my intuitive eating and exercising, I always coupled it because I kind of had problems in the beginning knowing what to do with my time. I'm like, well, if I'm not obsessively tracking everything and if I'm not obsessively exercising, what, like I need a hobby or something. And so meditation was kind of one of those things that I could do that took up some time and allowed me to kind of put some of that energy towards, and then also really supported my goals.
What were some of your challenges when you started meditating? Because you seem to me like you're so physically active and everything about your life has been really physically active. So to sit down, get on a cushion and breathe, did you start with like 1 minute or how did you start?
Yeah. So, I started a little overambitious, which seems to be like my personality. I started, be like, sure, I haven't really done this. Of course I should do half an hour,
Yeah.
And I read books and I also had done some yoga. So I think that kind of helped bridge the gap where, yoga can be something that is extremely, and the yoga that I like then and still really like is, flowing and very meditative. So it allows me to kind of move, but not get in like a hard workout. It just kind of feels good, but it allows me to also get in that meditative state. When I started, like I should have started smaller. It really wasn't until later on that, yeah, I started doing more of like the 5 to 10 minutes. And now I really just sit down and I just kind of ask myself, like, how long do I meditate for? And I use my intuition to guide it. So sometimes it's just like 5 minutes, 8 minutes, 10 minutes. Sometimes it is 15 or 20 minutes.
And what kind of practice do you do? Do you do basic breath practice or gratitude, or what do you do to get in that space?
I change it up. I've tried so many different kinds of meditation that I feel like I have a lot of tools in my toolbox, if you will. So sometimes I'll sit down and be like, you know what? I just kind of need to rest. I just need to sit and do nothing for like 15 minutes and just kind of like enjoy that. And anytime my brain tries to go towards a to-do list or anything like that, I just gradually bring it back. Sometimes I do the inhale in good, exhale out anything that's not serving me. That's really good, especially if I'm in more of like an anxious place. I walk my dog every day, but sometimes I'm like, okay, I'm really gonna make the walk meditative. So I'm gonna go and I'm gonna, feel the sunshine on my face, and I'm gonna pay attention to the wind blowing in the leaves, and I'm really just gonna be in the moment. And I try to do that a lot with my child too, when I'm with my daughter. Like she's just like this little ray of sunshine, and joy. So I found with her it's really easy to connect to that deeper spot.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you've ever thought about therapy and haven't quite jumped in yet, it may be the right time to explore BetterHelp. Whether you're looking for new coping skills or to improve a relationship, or maybe dealing with some social anxiety, or just need to recharge your batteries so you can be the best version of yourself, therapy is great. And this could be just the right time to give BetterHelp a shot. Finding a therapist through BetterHelp is easy. It's entirely online, convenient, flexible, and they do their best to match you with a licensed therapist that's a great fit for you. Visit betterhelp.com/untangle today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, help.com/untangle. Now back to our show.
Do you think that most emotional eating is related to stress, or, I mean, certain cravings that you might have, or some addictive behavior? Have you looked into that at all?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's a lot of different things, and I think it really depends on the person. I know cortisol, when stress, science says that it, spikes the appetite, and the things that you have cravings for are usually going to be high fat, high sugar, high salt, which those three foods are also as addictive in the body as like, cocaine. So when you kind of get into that pattern of being stressed, and then you're wanting to reach for food, or, wanting something to make you feel better, and then you reach for that, and you kind of develop this bad habit and this cycle that repeats. And then you kind of like need more and more of the food to cope, to feel better. I think that's certainly part of it. But the other part was, for so long I had restricted myself, and was like off and on kind of starving myself. And so I was just so hungry. You know what I mean? I was fighting my own biological cues, and I wasn't eating enough healthy fat. I wasn't eating enough protein. I was eating a lot of basically sugar and carbs. Like now I try to eat in a fairly quote unquote balanced way, which is, every single meal and snack I have has some protein and has some healthy fat. And that has made all the difference in the world. And just making sure I'm also eating enough food.
Now, when you say that it makes a difference, do you mean you're not craving things as much anymore, and you're not using food as a reward for those cravings?
Correct. Yeah. And I just biologically don't have as much hunger. I'm satiated. And I think because nothing is off limits, nothing has that allure of you can't have it. When you know that you can go out and have ice cream anytime you want it, you no longer have to eat the entire gallon of ice cream sitting in your fridge. You
And how
know?
many women do that?
Yes, because you're like, well, I better eat it now. I'm never going to eat it again.
Right.
Like,
This
no,
is
I
just
can.
today, just today.
Right. No, if I want to have another couple bites in 3 hours, I'll have another couple bites. You know, like, it's okay. But that is a completely different, it's a completely different mindset, you know, and it really is going from, you know, scarcity to abundance.
Right, right. And what are you hearing from your consumers, the consumers that are reading your blogs and listening to you? What are you hearing from them that are their biggest problems in this whole area?
We wrote an entire book called The Fit Bottom Girl's Anti-Diet, which was to help our readers basically like really break up with dieting, because we'd had, you know, we'd been writing on the site for years and years and years, but there was no like definitive guide on how to be a fit bottom girl. It was like, hey, you say fit bottoms come in all shapes and sizes and, you know, love yourself and be healthy.
But how are we supposed to do that?
Yeah. So we wrote a book to do that. So the feedback to that has been great, because, you know, everyone wants to get healthy, but, you know, they know dieting doesn't work. Otherwise there wouldn't be 4,000, you know, diet books on the market. The other thing is, myself and my two other business partners, Erin and Kristen, we've all gotten even more into meditation and more into, you know, living our highest purpose. So we started Fit Bottomed Zen in early April, which is to dive into more of that. So, because as we saw ourselves wanting to write about it more, we saw our readers reacting more to that and being like, yeah, I want more, you know, meditations I can do. I want more tips on how to be more mindful. And so that it's just really grown.
Well, so in the anti-diet book, you have a number of tips. What if you had to just, you know, kind of quickly go through, what are the top five tips?
So take your power back from the scale. I would also say be really conscious of the media you consume and that you read, even commercials, even a TV that's kind of like on in the background, or a magazine you flip through the doctor's office. You know, your money has power and your eyeballs have power. So be really mindful of what you're putting that power towards, and to really pay attention to what you want to see more of in the world. So create the habit of exercise in any way you can. So if you're a brand new beginner, working out, like if you like walking or dancing in your living room or running around after your kids or something, like do what you love to do until exercise is a habit. So once it's a habit and you no longer have to like force yourself to be active, then start to kind of play in and mix in some things that you like to do or new things you want to try that are a little bit more challenging. Like, you know, lift some weights, try a group exercise class. If you like dancing in your living room, try Zumba. It's easier to start a habit if you like to do it. So start by doing something you like and then add on and challenge yourself from there.
That's a really good one, because I think people beat themselves up so much when they think they should be doing something because it's good for them, but they really, really don't want to do it.
Right.
What do you say to them when that's the case?
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, start small. You know, it's not an all or nothing thing. And I always tell people, you know, the biggest excuse to not being able to work out is time. You know, I can't fit it in. I don't have time. Well, like no one in the history of the world has ever said, I don't have time to like binge watch my favorite TV show, you know, or check social media, like check my Facebook. So we have, you know, we do have the time, but it's easy to spend time on things that you enjoy. So just make it a habit. 5 minutes is better than nothing, you know, and then really celebrate those successes. You know, when you do something, you know, give yourself credit, give yourself a pat on the back, like be excited about it. Even if you had planned to go to the gym and do an hour workout and instead you went for a 5 minute walk, you still deserve a high five because you did something.
Right, right. Well, and I think people like I think people love hearing stories like yours where you struggled with your weight, you struggled with your body image. You were obsessed and you come through it. You're much more positive about your body and how you feel about yourself. And it's nice to see that you're sharing what you've learned through that whole process yourself. Because so many people talk about how frustrating it is. And I think there's obsession around body image on so many different levels. So tell me about Fit Bottom Zen. I love that name. I love
Thanks.
That you've gone from Fit Bottom Girls to Fit Bottom Mama and now Fit Bottom Zen.
Yeah, we have a whole fit-bottomed world, if you will, is what we call it. yeah, Zen is, we're posting, right now we're posting 3 or 4 times a week new articles, and it's been a lot of yoga workouts that you can do, or Pilates poses, or meditations you can try, some home improvement stuff, some kind of like organizational stuff to make your house more Zen or to make your kitchen more Zen. You know, Fit Bottom Girls has such this kind of strong, peppy energy. And we hope that the Zen is kind of like that, but Zen, you know, but a little bit like quieter. And like you just go on the site and you feel a little bit more peaceful, but you have, you know, real tips that you can use. And I think that that mind body area is growing so much, but so much of it is what we call, you know, pretty hippity dippity, can be nice, but we're trying to make it more accessible to the everyday person who is just like, yeah, I want to meditate, but I don't want to sit on a pillow. So how do I do that? You know, so we're trying to fill in there.
Good. I think that's great. I hope people will try that, because I think you're sharing such great stuff. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the stigmas associated with mental health and mental illness? And again, there are so many people that are sort of along a spectrum of that. So I'd love to hear from you, because so many people respect your voice.
It's funny. I've been talking to my girlfriends a lot about this, because we had another writer who wrote on Fit Bottom Zen about depression and shared a really personal, deep story there about it. I don't know if it's all the cultural pressures on women to kind of do everything and be everything and have everything 100% of the time, this whole concept of balance that is not permeable. I'm not sure if it's that or what, but I just know so many women who have struggled with some aspect of their mental health, be it, you know, anxiety or depression. And it's almost beginning to feel like, to me, like a rite of passage that no one talks about.
And do you have a set of tools that you think work? Or, I mean, aside from really serious depression or serious anxiety, do you have some things that you think are super helpful in terms of minimizing depression?
Yeah. When I was depressed in college and I did go on antidepressants and I kind of got out of that, after I went through that process, I was better able to see kind of when I was slipping down, because I knew what it felt like. So since then, I've been able a little bit more aware to kind of be like, oh, I'm kind of like sad and not dealing with my feelings. I should deal with my feelings. And a lot of times I will honestly just sit. I feels like such like a Sesame Street move, but just to kind of sit and I'll just be like, Jen, feel your feelings. Like,
right. Well, that's mindfulness, right? You recognize what you're feeling.
Yep. And feel them, just, you know, surrender to it all. And then, you know, just like imagine yourself just lifting all of that off of your shoulders and just handing it over, like whether you hand it over to the universe or God or whatever you believe in, just let it go, like hand it over. And that always makes me feel lighter.
Oh, I love that. I love that. So and how you have a 15-month-old daughter?
Mm-hmm, yes.
So how are you managing work life right now? What's your secret for work life balance?
Well, I'm really lucky and extremely grateful that I do make my own schedule. So I do have, you know, obviously the demands of running. We have 4 websites. I used to work, you know, at least 50 hours a week. I used to work a ton. And now on Mondays and Fridays, I don't work. I might check my email during nap times and things, but I just hang out with my daughter and try to be 100% present and aware. And then on Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, she's in daycare all day and I work my butt off. And so it works out really well. But it took my husband and I 3 years to have her. And it was through a little bit of outside help with doctors. So I feel, you know, really, really, really blessed to have her and to have that time.
Oh, that's so nice. Oh, I love that. Well, it seems like you have this whole kind of toolbox of different methods for managing your life in the most positive way possible. And they all kind of come under this umbrella of self-care and self-love, which is so great. And I also love that a lot of this came because of your wedding. It's sort of that being your trigger, because you recognized how you were feeling on your wedding day and you decided you would have that no more.
Yeah.
And so I think that's that as a sort of trigger for the rest of your life is a really nice thing. I am so grateful that we've had the chance to talk to you today, and thank you for all that you have shared with us.
Thank you.
And I hope you'll come back again.
I'd love to. That was lovely.
Thanks so much to Jen, and thank you all for listening. We look forward to sharing more inspiring stories on our next episode. If you'd like to know more about Jen and her blogs, check out her website at fitbottomgirls.com. If you have feedback or suggestions for guests, email us at untangle@gaiam.com. And don't forget to check out Meditation Studio by Gaiam in the App Store. See you next time.
We'll take a short break for one of our awesome sponsors, Born Shoes. I was so excited to try these cute, casual sandals made with top quality leather, perfect for all the traveling that I do. They're so comfortable for walking anywhere. I know exactly why their tagline is, "Take comfort in Born Shoes." Perfect. There are 5 new styles this spring, and I tried Ithaca and absolutely love them. But they also have boots and heels you should try. They feel as good as they look. Go to bornshoes.com today for a 15% discount plus ground shipping on all full price shoes when you use my promo code UNTANGLE. That's promo code UNTANGLE for 15% off and free shipping. Available exclusively to our listeners for just a limited time. Now, back to our show.